The interview left Sherlock Holmes very thoughtful, and several times in the next few days I saw him take a slip of paper from his notebook and look long and earnestly at the curious figures inscribed upon it. He made no allusion to the affair, however, until one afternoon, a fortnight or so later. I was going out when he called me back.
"You had better stay here, Watson."
"Why?"
"Because I had a wire from Hilton Cubitt this morning. You remember Hilton Cubitt, of the dancing men? He was to reach Liverpool Street at 1:20. He may be here at any moment. I gather from his wire that there have been some new incidents of importance."
We had not long to wait, for a Norfolk squire came straight from the station as fast as a hansom could bring him. He was looking worried and depressed, with tired eyes and a lined forehead.
"It's getting on my nerves, this business, Mr. Holmes," said he, as he sank, like a wearied man, into an armchair. "It's bad enough to feel that you are surrounded by unseen, unknown folk who have some kind of design upon you, but when, in addition to that, you know that it is just killing your wife by inches, then it becomes as much as flesh and blood can endure. She's wearing away under it, just wearing away before my eyes."
"Has she said anything yet?"
"No, Mr. Holmes, she has not. And yet there have been times when the poor girl has wanted to speak, and yet could not quite bring herself to take the plunge. I have tried to help her, but I dare say I did it clumsily and scared her from it. She has spoken about my old family and our reputation in the county and our pride in our unsullied honour, and I always felt it was leading to the point, but somehow it turned off before we got there."
"But you have found out something for yourself?"
"A good deal, Mr. Holmes. I have several fresh dancing men pictures for you to examine, and what is more important, I have seen the fellow."
"What? The man who draws them?"
"Yes, I saw him at his work. But I will tell you everything in order. When I got back after my visit to you, the very first thing I saw next morning was a fresh crop of dancing men. They had been drawn in chalk upon the black wooden door of the tool house, which stands beside the lawn in full view of the front windows. I took an exact copy, and here it is." He unfolded a paper and laid it upon the table. "Here is a copy of the hieroglyphics."
"Excellent," said Holmes. "Excellent. Pray continue."
"When I had taken the copy, I rubbed out the marks, but 2 mornings later a fresh inscription had appeared. I have a copy of it here."
Holmes rubbed his hands and chuckled with delight.
"Our material is rapidly accumulating," said he. 3 days later, a message was left scrawled upon paper and placed under a pebble upon the sundial. Here it is. The characters are, as you see, exactly the same as the last one. After that, I determined to lie in wait, so I got out my revolver and I sat up in my study, which overlooks the lawn and garden. About 2 in the morning, I was seated by the window, all being dark save for the moonlight outside, when I heard steps behind me, and there was my wife in her dressing gown. She implored me to come to bed. I told her frankly that I wished to see who it was who played such absurd tricks upon us. She answered that it was some senseless practical joke, and that I should not take any notice of it. "If it really annoys you, Hilton, we might go and travel, you and I, and so avoid this nuisance."
"What, be driven out of our own house by a practical joker?" said I. "Why, we should have the whole country laughing at us."
"Well, come to bed," said she, "and we can discuss it in the morning." Suddenly, as she spoke, I saw her white face grow whiter yet in the moonlight, and her hand tightened upon my shoulder. Something was moving in the shadow of the tool house. I saw a dark, creeping figure which crawled round the corner and squatted in front of the door. Seizing my pistol, I was rushing out, when my wife threw her arms round me and held me with convulsive strength. I tried to throw her off, but she clung to me most desperately. At last I got clear, but by the time I had opened the door and reached the house, the creature was gone. He had left a trace of his presence, however, for there on the door was the very same arrangement of dancing men which had already twice appeared, and which I have copied on that paper. There was no other sign of the fellow anywhere, though I am all over the grounds. and yet the amazing thing is that he must have been there all the time, for when I examined the door again in the morning, he had scrawled some more of his pictures under the line which I had already seen. "Have you that fresh drawing?" "Yes, it is very short, but I made a copy of it, and here it is." Again he produced a paper. The new dance was in this form. "Tell me," said Holmes, and I could see by his eyes that he was much excited, "was this a mere addition to the first, or did it appear to be entirely separate?" "It was on a different panel of the door." "Excellent. This is far the most important of all for our purpose. It filled me with hopes. Now, Mr. Hilton Cubitt, please continue your most interesting statement."
"I have nothing more to say, Mr. Holmes, except that I was angry with my wife that night for having held me back when I might have caught the skulking rascal. She said that she feared that I might come to harm. For an instant it had crossed my mind that perhaps what she really feared was that he might come to harm, for I could not doubt that she knew who this man was and what he meant by these strange signals. But there is a tone in my wife's voice, Mr. Holmes, and a look in her eyes which forbid doubt, and I am sure that it was indeed my own safety that was in her mind. There's the whole case, and now I want your advice as to what I ought to do. My own inclination is to put half a dozen of my farm lads in the shrubbery, and when this fellow comes again, to give him such a hiding that he will leave us in peace for the future."
"I fear it is too deep a case for such simple remedies," said Holmes. "How long can you stay in London?"
"I must go back today. I would not leave my wife alone all night for anything. She is very nervous and begged me to come back."
"I dare say you're right. But if you could have stopped, I might possibly have been able to return with you in a day or two. Meanwhile, you will leave me these papers, and I think that it is very likely that I shall be able to pay you a visit shortly and to throw some light upon your case."